Did you open your Bibles this morning to the Gospel according to Mark? The Gospel according to Mark, chapter 1. We will be looking at verses 32 through 39 this morning. Good to see you here in the house of God on this Lord's Day. You know, one of the most important things that we need daily is to spend some quiet time with God. I would say it's essential for our spiritual life that we have that. And if we don't have it, it's going to hurt us spiritually. It's going to show up in our life. And we'll be weak and we'll suffer in our spiritual lives. And so today's message is going to be entitled Quiet Time with the Father. And before we read our scripture reading, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we give you praise, glory, and honor this morning. And dear God, forgive us of our many shortcomings in which we fail you. And Lord, draw us near to you as we look at your word. Lord, open our hearts to your word and draw us near. And Lord, help me, your unworthy servant, as I read your word today, and give me your grace. In the name of Jesus I pray, amen. Mark chapter 1, beginning in verse 32, we read, "And at evening, when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased, and them that were possessed with devils. And all the city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many that were sick of divers diseases, and cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew him. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. And Simon and they that were with him followed after him. And when they had found him, they said unto him, All men seek for thee. And he said unto them, Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also. For therefore came I forth. And he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee, and cast out devils." The key verse that we're going to be really focusing on today is verse 35, though we'll look at all these verses, but verse 35 is going to be the key verse in our sermon this morning. Now, we saw this past Wednesday night in verses 29 through 31 where Jesus healed Simon's mother-in-law. And what we saw over the last few times we've looked at the Gospel of Mark, we've seen that Jesus has authority to teach. He did not teach like the rabbis and the scribes, who were always appealing to extra-biblical sources for authority. He appealed only to Scripture for his authority. Jesus did. He spoke with authority himself. Secondly, we saw he had authority over the demons, over Satan and his demons, and casting them out. And this past Wednesday night, we see that Jesus has authority even over sickness and disease. And we continue that what we looked at Wednesday night in verse 32, where it says, "At evening, the sun was setting." It was evening. "And after he healed Simon's mother-in-law, many were brought unto Jesus." And what does it tell us in these verses 32 and 34? Many were diseased, possessed with devils. Jesus' fame had spread. They were hearing about this Jesus and what he was doing. His power over demons. His power over sickness. Him preaching with authority. He healed many who were sick. He cast out demons. And it's something that's you'll notice that he suffered the devils, not the devils to speak, because they knew him. Luke's gospel, telling of this same situation, 4:41 in Luke, says, "For they knew that he was the Christ." The devils did. Look, the demons know who God is. They believe in God and tremble. Jesus probably forbid these demons to be quiet, not to declare who he was. First of all, he didn't want the demonic forces declaring who he was, but I believe it was because there was a popular idea of a Messiah who was coming to conquer and to overthrow Rome. And Jesus himself wanted to declare what type of Messiah he was, and it wasn't that type of Messiah. And so he forbid the demons to speak. And even after all this busy time, and I don't know how many, it was a whole bunch, though, that were coming, because it says here that all the city was gathered together. I could just imagine the streets being filled up with people bringing their sick for Jesus to heal. And after that busy night, the next morning in verse 35, it says that Jesus rose up early in the morning and he went out to a solitary place and he prayed. That word prayed there does not mean he just went and said a little prayer. It means he was in a great time of prayer. He was spending probably a pretty good amount of time in prayer. And what we see here is in all the busyness that was going on around Jesus. He was very busy in the ministry. And I'll tell you what that can burn you out. You know, being around a whole lot of people doing all this work, and that's true with any job. You can burn out. The hustle and bustle of life can burn you out. It can hurt your relationship with God. And what's the solution to this? Well, Jesus, though he was busy, and though he had been doing so much, he got up early the next morning for a time of communion with God, to pray with God. And what can we learn from these actions of Jesus here in verse 35? Number one, there's a need for quiet time with God every day for us. I would say it's a need, not a want. It's a need. You got to make it happen somehow. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 5, verses 15 and 16, Jesus here again healing. But notice verse 15 of Luke 5. "But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him." Fame of him spread abroad. What is it saying? Great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. What does verse 16 state? "And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed." Don't ever say, "I don't have enough time to pray." My friends, you've got to make time to pray. Just like you got to make time to eat every day. You got to make time to pray. It's essential, number one, to be refreshed by God. You got to step away from this, all that's going on around you. And you've got to have that time with God every day. Jesus knew this and got away from it. And so should we. You know, notice that in Mark's Gospel, our main text, it was in the morning times. And I personally believe mornings are the best time because you're less likely to be interfered with other people. Just everybody else is asleep. I believe that's why you see Jesus getting up in the morning early to pray. Now, I'm not sure about here in Luke's Gospel, but the stresses of life are great. Make no mistake about it. And it's going to continue till the day we die. In Luke 6, verses 11 and 12, and I've noticed, by the way, in the Gospel of Luke, The Gospel of Luke, which we're mainly looking at Mark's Gospel, but the Gospel of Luke really shows Jesus getting away and praying a tremendous amount in Luke's Gospel. And Jesus was confronting the Pharisees here in Luke's Gospel. And you'll notice in verse 11, "And they," that is these unbelieving Jews, these Pharisees, you can read the whole chapter, "they were filled with madness." Boy, they had had their fill of Jesus. And commune one with another what they might do to Jesus. "And it came to pass in those days that he went out to a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God." When the stresses of life are pressing upon you, spend some time to get away from it. You see here that Jesus did it. I believe that probably mornings are the best. But my friends, if you do it at night, keep doing it at night. Because if night time's the best for you, do it at night. Because here we see Jesus went to God in prayer at night. He prayed all night. Now, I'm not telling you to go pray all night. Matter of fact, after he prayed all night, this is when he chose his apostles, the 12. But what we see here, I want you to get here, Jesus had to be refreshed by the Father. When you have people like he was facing who were angry, plotting to kill him, you had crowds wanting something from him, you got to get away at times. Or it's going to burn you out. We need it. We need to commune with God, to be refreshed by Him. Another good example is found in the book of Psalms, Psalms chapter 5. Psalm 5. This is often called a morning prayer of King David's. But in Psalm 5, I'm just going to read a portion of this psalm. What's often called a morning psalm of David, just the first 8 verses, and you can go back and read the whole psalm. But you'll notice what David prays here in his prayer in Psalm 5. "Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God. For unto thee will I pray. My voice shall thou hear in the morning. O Lord, in the morning I will direct my prayer unto thee and will look up." David says, in the morning, "O Lord, I'm going to direct my prayer to you." He says, "You'll hear my prayer." David expressed his confidence that God would hear his prayer. And Lord, I'm looking to you. And notice verse 4. For thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing. The Lord will abhor the bloody and deceitful man. David knew he was surrounded by people like this. Evil people. Bloody people. Deceitful people. But what does he say in verse 7 and 8? "But as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy. And in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple. Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness. Because of my enemies, make thy way straight before my face." When you're facing the stresses of life, you know all this is coming against you. Look what David did. He says, "Lord, I'm coming to you. I know, Lord, the evil will not stand in your presence. I'll come into your house. Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness." Look up as David did. Look up to heaven. Do it daily, for we need it. We need it to be strengthened by God. Go to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 26, verses 37 through 39. And this is when you see Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. You see, really, if you read the accounts of Jesus in Gethsemane, we see the humanity of Jesus like we see in no other place in Scripture. For the cross was coming before him. He was facing many, many stresses of this life. Notice what it says, and he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. That is very sorrowful. He was being very sad. Sadness was upon him. And then he says, "Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me." And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as I will." And that cup that Jesus was talking about would be God's wrath, the sins of the world. "Let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but as thy will." Not what I want to do, thy will, Father. There are times when we are facing critical situations in our life, and you may feel overwhelmed. Go to the Father. Go to the Father. We need that strength from Him. You'll hear people say, "You got it," or "You're enough." Thing about it is, the Bible and Christianity tells us you don't have it. And you're not enough. You need God. You need Him daily, my friends, or you're going to be overwhelmed and crushed by the stresses of this life. Going back to Mark's Gospel, you'll notice that Jesus went away to a solitary place. Luke's Gospel, dealing with this same story, calls it a desert place. And the word desert here does not mean like a desert out in Arizona. It means a deserted place, King James does. It means a deserted, a lonely place. There's a time when you got to find that place, that deserted place, to get for your own self. And let me say, I think that you should do family devotions. I think those are great. But I also believe you got to have that time where it's just you and God, where you spend time with God in a deserted, solitary place to pour out your heart to Him. Luke chapter 5, verse 16 says that Jesus went and prayed in the wilderness. Very similar, same language basically. Luke 6:12 says that Jesus went to the mountain to pray. Again, getting away from the crowds, getting away from everybody. And Luke 22:39, you don't have to go there with me because it's dealing with the Garden of Gethsemane, but I want you to notice where it says how Jesus went to pray. It says he came out and went as he wont to the mountain, Mount of Olives. As he wont, that was as was his custom. As he was accustomed, the New King James translates that, during that last week of ministry in his life, Jesus was going to the Mount of Olives, there to the Garden of Gethsemane, getting away from the crowds, and regularly praying in this isolated place. Do you have a solitary place to pray? Do you get away? Get away from the things of this world. And it doesn't have to be going out in the desert, even going out in the woods. It could be your living room early in the morning. Or maybe it's in your living room at night. Maybe you say, "I'm just such not a morning person or even an evening person." Maybe it's I do it at midday and I go and find a park bench, or I go on my lunch break or whatever, and I get away from everybody and I spend an hour in prayer, or however long. Maybe it's you go out, it's on your porch, outside under a tree, under a swing. Maybe you go out to your car. I think the key thing is you find that place, wherever it is, whether it's your house, and to do it. You know, I was seeing this video by a lady who's really busy on TikTok. She's a Christian lady. I think she works in the medical industry and just totally overwhelmed. And she says that she would get in her car in the morning and she would spend that time driving to work doing nothing but praying. That was her, you know, solitary place. And when she got to work, she'd make sure she'd get there about 30 minutes ahead of time. Then she'd spend those last 30 minutes reading through her Bible and doing some more praying. That may not be the most ideal thing, but you know what, folks? If that works for you or for her, praise God. I'm not going to get up here and say, well, you got to do it just exactly the way I said it. Because you'll read some books that'll tell you, you got to spend a solid hour in prayer. Put a timer on it. Your phone, and don't do stuff like that. That's legalism. That's legalism. And Jesus makes it clear, it's not how long your prayer is, it's that you pray, my friends. I mean, the Lord's Prayer, which we're going to look at in a few moments, is a very short prayer, about 20, 25 seconds. It's that you spend time with God. Now, how can we apply this? How can I apply this to my life? Well, as I just said, there's no reason to reinvent the wheel when it's given to us in Luke chapter 11. Say, how can I spend time with God in prayer? Because this was a question the disciples had in Luke chapter 11, beginning in verse 1. It says, it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, notice, Jesus was praying in a certain place. Again, he got away from everything. And when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. They had begun to notice that Jesus would get away and pray. You know, going back to Mark's gospel, you know, Jesus got away to pray, and there after he went away, they started looking for him. Where'd he go? You know, you look, Simon followed after him and says, all men seek after thee. Lord, you've gotten away. Look, sometimes you need to turn this phone off. There'll be people seeking after you. Put it on mute or turn it off and get in that certain place and pray. And what's amazing here, they didn't say, Lord, teach us to preach as you preached. Teach us to teach as you taught. Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. And then Jesus gave that prayer that we know as the Lord's Prayer in verses 2 through 4. And he said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. The Lord's Prayer provides a format for our own prayer life, my friends. That's what Jesus was trying to tell them. Now, I don't believe he was saying you've got to pray this prayer and this only. I believe he's saying this is the format on which you're to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven. Address your prayers to God as Father, for He is our Father. And He is in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Notice that when Jesus taught to pray, He didn't just say, start asking. You know, like you're going down a grocery list. We've all been guilty of that. When we jump in our prayers, we just say, give me, give me, give me. Now he says, address God as your Father. Praise Him. Hallowed be thy name. Holy is your name, O Lord. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, let your will be done on earth. Your kingdom is coming. And let your will be done on earth as it is perfectly done in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread. That is your daily needs. Then you get into what you really need. Give us, Lord, what we need today. you seek supplication. And notice the words us. Not just myself, but others. To pray for myself, for you, for others. Give us all our daily bread. And of course, forgive us our sins. For we're also forgive others that are indebted to us and who've sinned against us. And Lord, don't lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. I believe that gives you a simple format to pray every day. And you may want to try, look, I'll give you, it'd be good for you to just pray this prayer and then divide up all these. I challenge you to do this. Divide up all these that where it says, "Our Father which art in heaven." And if you don't have it, get that. It's a couple apps: the Blue Letter Bible app or the Bible Hub app. And go look at that and look for cross references. It'll give you a bunch of cross references in the Old Testament, New Testament. And you can write those scriptures out and tie them into this, just that one phrase. Then go to the next phrase, "Hallowed be thy name." And you'll see how that you'll have a whole bunch of scriptures to study and analyze this prayer that Jesus gave. Divide it up. Put your own prayers. Pray your own prayer according to the Lord's Prayer. Do it in the morning. And there's other ways that you can do this. You can just pray one section of this prayer every day. It says, like, "Do our Father which art in heaven." And just focus on that prayer, portion of that prayer. You can try that. But my friends, I believe the Lord's Prayer is a model for us to pray every day. A second thing that you can do, which was common among the Jews, pray the Psalms. Pray the Psalms. Look, the book of Psalms is different from the other 65 books of the Bible. It's meant to be prayed and sung. That's what it's designed for. It is a prayer book, and it's filled with prayers. When Jesus was upon the cross, when He said, my God, why have You forsaken Me?" He was quoting Psalm 22. And I believe, you don't have to hold my belief on this, but I believe it's most likely true that Jesus prayed that entire psalm, Psalm 22. For that, we often call it the crucifixion psalm. It would have been very common because Jesus, like all Jews, prayed the psalms. And I'm not going there because we're short on time, but you can go to Acts chapter 4. You can write this down, verses 24 through 30. Where the church got together and they prayed Psalm 2, but they amplified it to and showed the messianic part of Psalm 2. They prayed it together. Pray the Psalms. I tell you, one of the best things I've ever done. I got about two notebooks, and it's 2015. Both of those notebooks have. I think I did about 60 days through the Psalms. And every day I prayed a psalm, and I would write out a prayer applying that psalm to what I was going through. And it was wonderful. And I've done that before through I got it in another journaling Bible. Pray the Psalms, my friend. They're meant to be prayed. I find that when I'm really, really can't find words to pray, to just start praying a psalm. You'll find words. Pray with David. Pray the Psalms. Apply it to your life. Pray a psalm. Read a Proverbs with the Psalms. Because Proverbs have some other great applications. Pray the Bible. Pray daily. Now don't just open your Bible to the middle of it and say, "I'm going to read this verse." No, read it in context. Always read Scripture in context. You can get one of these through the Bible in a year, though I would caution you, and you can find it online. You don't have to buy one. You can get it, YouVersion app, a whole bunch. Every Bible app, I think, has a one-year Bible app. But what I would caution you, don't necessarily follow the one-year thing. Just read it and then stop and pray. and spend some time communing. If it takes you 3 to 4 or 5 years to get through it, the key thing is read your Bible. Read before you pray. Read the Bible. Then pray it again. Maybe you don't want to... Another way that you can commune with God in prayer and His Word, just find a book of the Bible that really touches you. You feel led. Maybe it's Galatians. Maybe it's the Gospel of Mark, which we're looking at. Read through that book daily. Don't get in a rush. Pray it. Find scriptures in there that's applying, that touch you, that convicts you. And pray it. And read that book over and over and over again. Make it part of your life. You can also do a topical Bible reading plan. Maybe you're struggling with depression, loneliness, lust, anger. Could be a variety of things. Look that subject up in your Bible. You can look it up on, like I said, on the Blue Letter Bible app. Subject. Look at all the scriptures that deal with that. Write them out. Study them. Pray them. Apply them to your life. Do cross references. The key thing, folks, is spend time with God daily. When it comes to the Bible, you're not dealing with just a textbook. Exposition without application you're just studying like a textbook. No, this applies to us in our lives. It's God's Word. It's living. Spend some time communing with God, refreshing yourself, because when you read the Bible and when you are studying the Bible, you're communing with God, for this is the very breath of God. You'll notice, going back to Mark 1, when they came to Jesus after He had spent time in prayer, He had spent time in that solitary place praying, that they said, you know, everybody's looking for you. All men seek for you. They didn't quite understand why He got away. What was Jesus' next words? Hey, let's go next towns that I may preach there also. And He preached there in the synagogues throughout all of Galilee, it states in verse 39, and again, cast out devils. After this quiet time with the Father was over, Jesus was refreshed and resumed His ministry. Look, if Jesus Christ, the Son of God, needed time to spend with God the Father in prayer daily, how much more us who are nothing but who struggle with sin daily with our flesh? We need it to energize us, to strengthen us for the battles that's going to face us tomorrow and this week. You need it, my friends. I need it. What are you doing? The key thing is, and I said before, I don't want to be legalistic on this because everybody's different. Spend that time with the Lord in prayer daily. Spend it with time. Follow the example of our Lord Jesus Christ, whether it's in the morning, whether it's in the evening, or maybe it's another time, but make it your time, get away, and stick to it. Don't let the world interfere with you on it. And I want to close with a scripture in 1 Samuel chapter 30. Story in the time of the life of King David. In 1 Samuel chapter 30. And verses 3 through 6. Now, David and his men had come back to their base at Ziklag, and the Amalekites had raided it. And you'll notice in verse 3, so David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire. And their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. I mean, this was I mean, it's like your house burning down. Your family's all gone. Been taken captive. This is distressing. It says, and David's two wives were taken captives. Ahinoam, the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed. David was under a lot of stress here. Life is full of stress, my friends. For the people spake of stoning him. They were blaming him for all this. Because the soul of the people were grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. Did David just fall apart and say, oh my gosh, that's y'all's fault. I'm just going to fall apart. No, what does it say David did? My friends, this is what we should do. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. In life, we're going to face trouble. There's never going to get to a time in our life. People like myself, there's people I know I work with. Once I retire, man, it's going to be great. And just sit back and relax. Many of y'all who are retired know it's not like that, is it? You still got stress. This life is filled with it. But how do we overcome the stresses and the temptations of this life? Do as David did. He encouraged himself in the Lord. In an overwhelming situation, he encouraged himself in the Lord. What did the Lord Jesus do in Mark chapter 1, verse 35, after ministering to so many people? And we see this throughout Jesus' ministry, as the Gospel of Luke especially shows. Jesus regularly got away to a solitary place and spent time with the Father. If Jesus needed it, so do you and I. Let us make that part of our life if it's not part of your life. We can all go through times where our spiritual lives get dry. But seek the Lord. He's there for you, my friends. This world, though, will suck you dry of your strength. If you're here and you're not a Christian, let me remind you that you need Christ. You need Him. He died on the cross for sinners such as yourself. He rose again 3 days later. He is the only hope that you have, and anybody has. And I urge you to turn to Him today if you're not a Christian. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, Father, we come to You. We thank You, Lord, that in this life that is full of so much trouble, that we can get away. We can do as our Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord God and Savior did, and gave us an example to spend time with You, Father, to pray. We can do as David did, to encourage ourselves in You. Oh, Lord God, help us. Strengthen us. Help us to make those times daily to pray. And encourage us as You did, David. And Father, if there be any here today who know not Christ as Lord and Savior, oh God, I pray that You will convict them by the Holy Spirit to look to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and to trust Him today. Oh Lord, help us all to be that witness for Christ each and every day. In the name of Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen. Well, don't forget services tonight, 5:30. Right? 5:30, not 6:30. Coming 5:30. Brother Jimmy will be bringing the Word of God. But it's good to see each and every one.